Lewis.
Since I am an apprentice graduate, my concerns can certainly not be considered nonpartisan, but I would like to add this to this. You raise a very good question when you say, well, where's the money going to come from? Well, one of the narratives that is suggested is that I'm stealing from the archives that we have. First of all, if you look at the last line of the proposed of the agreed upon, passed by acclamation, what we should do with the apprenticeship program, what was passed by it, what we thought about, the last line say, in addition to what a treasure it is, that we should promulgate it. Well, how the hell are we going to do that with continuing cutting buddies? Well, I would say this is one possibility. We could do what the archives did. We have a national day of fundraising for the apprenticeship program, and each station get to keep what it raised as seed money for starting their own apprenticeship program, and doubling, putting throughout the network the advantages that we have here. One of the things that the apprenticeship program does, among many others, is help us at least approach our affirmative action responsibilities.
Mel.
I had a question, and maybe it's probably, I don't know if it's in order or not, but is there a way to protect, if the apprentice program raised their own funds, is there a way to protect that? Or is that something that, because I think that's probably some sponsorship that would, outside of the regular budget, the way that we do business, that someone would like to do that, but they'd want to make sure that it's dedicated to apprenticeship. Is that possible, or is that
I would think it is. I would think it is, and also there could be grant writing just for that. Yeah. Good idea. Okay. Janet.
Yes. Similar to that, or piggybacking on that, I'm wondering whether, and I thought that Frank's motion should be tabled also, or should have been tabled, and basically it sort of was. But it only lays out the cost. And I'm going to suggest that, and Joy went through a whole list of what kinds of revenue possibly could come in with ideas for revenue raising, that maybe a motion could include those ideas, how to pay for it, including what Mel just talked about, and maybe even a line item or two or whatever of revenue in the budget to balance the expense of that.
We have David, Craig, Frank, and Margie, but let me raise something about the time. This was a session that's to be an hour. We had a financial report that was part of that, and we came back at about 10 after 1, and it's now 25 after 2, so I'm saying that as soon as David, Craig, Frank, and Margie speak, we're closing down this section, and I'm adding Cynthia, and then we're going to be done with this, and then we're going to go to the other items on the agenda. David.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess I'm in the same direction here as Andrea. I think we need to invest in community events, but not necessarily built around a celebrity, although it's nice to have a celebrity. But, for instance, we were talking with the people in San Jose about having an event there at the community college there. There's the Hayward State, the Sacramento. There's all kinds of areas where we could be reaching out to new audiences and having programs that involve the community, and by aligning ourselves with the issues that are burning issues for that, for those communities, whatever it happens to be. And I think we should invest in that. I think that's where our future lies. As it's a good thing to keep milking the same cow here in Berkeley. I'm not opposed to that. And to reach out to well-to-do donors, that would certainly be a great thing to do. But I think our main task and where we should put the most effort in is reaching out to new audiences and young audiences, and I think so. I think when we think about community events, we should be thinking more along those lines. In other words, I think we need a new, bolder approach here, and having confidence in our ability to reach out to these communities by showing them also that their concerns are going to be reflected on the dial of KPFA and associated stations.
Craig.
So there are a number of areas that, again, I'm going to sort of repeat what I said last month, but there are a number of areas where I think if we had money, it would be well spent. There is, people again have talked about the web system and developing social media and various alternatives to, and just improving what we have on the web. But there's also the IT infrastructure in the station. You know, we've been concerned about the state of equipment there for a long time. That could be a budget priority. There are personnel issues. You know, it's not just a matter of restoring the staffing of the apprenticeship program, but we lost a lot of people 2 years ago, a lot of good people and a lot of good talent and energy. And, you know, we should restore staffing if we could. If we have the money, we should restore the staffing, producers, administrative staff, and so forth. We also need to do staff training ongoing. We need something like a volunteer coordinator so we can actually attract people and put them to good use. We need to address some of the issues that, let's say, our workplace investigator raised with, training in personnel issues and ergonomics. That's another issue. I mean, we don't want people breaking their wrists trying to do the news or do other programming in the station. I mean, that's another place we could put money. And if we want programs like the Get the Signal in San Jose or in other parts of the Bay Area to work, we need to have money to fund them. If we want to have a bureau in San Jose, in the South Bay, or in the West Bay, or in the North Bay, we need to have money. Or if we want to have reporters go down there, we need to be able to pay for them. If we want to have, you know, public affairs programming, cultural programming, and so forth, there's only so much we can do with volunteers. We need to have some money behind that. So that's, again, another budget issue and another budget priority to consider. But if I had to choose among all of these, I would echo what Margie says. I think it's time for us to, you know, put our money behind a development coordinator, a development director, rather. With the proviso, as Richard Perodsky has mentioned, or some other person in the past, I don't know, I lose track, that there's not going to be an immediate payoff with that. But a development director would be able to do the kinds of things that Brian mentioned with the sustainers and that sort of thing. Those are excellent ideas. And pursue some other areas along the lines of what Andrea has been proposing in South Bay and so forth. So I think in boiling this all down, I would vote also to try to fund or make a priority a development director on a permanent basis.
Frank.
Me again. Thank you for the clock this time. I would say yes, development. I've been here, I think it's coming on 3 years now, almost four. And yes, development director, that'd be great. I would be on board for that. And, of course, the apprenticeship program. And I think that wherever we decide to spend this money, or whoever does decide to spend this money, they do decide to spend it, and they do decide to spend it in certain places. And there has been positions that have come up in the station that have been funded. We had a phone room coordinator. We have an assistant to the business manager. I think, Brian, you had a replacement for your show staff person hired. You know, so we've been spending money in certain places, or whatever that position was to fill in for you when you're gone. I'm not sure exactly what it was.
A description for work, relief work, that we were handing out on an ad hoc basis because we wanted everyone who wanted a shot at getting trained to do that work to have a chance. It wasn't the station agreeing to shell out more money.
Oh, okay. I thought it was vision. Oh, okay. So wherever we choose to spend the money in different places here or there, you know, I'd hope that we will decide to spend it on the apprenticeship program and, of course, the development director. I'm not sure exactly who ends up deciding where the money gets spent in the end, or whether it's just that we make suggestions and then it moves up the chain to the PNB. Is that how it goes? Or and then they decide ultimately where the money goes. In fact, I remember a couple meetings ago back near the college when a bunch of apprentices came out and we had a suggestion that there was going to be some placement hours never materialized, even though we voted yes. Yeah, there was a big vote, and then so whatever the reasoning, I'm saying it goes beyond us, and then who knows where it goes. So I would say that I am with the development director and, of course, the apprenticeship program, and I hope that we choose the money to go to those places and then that we follow up and make sure it actually gets there, because wherever it goes in the meantime, you know, we don't know, or I don't know if the who spends it and what it gets spent on. So I just hope that development and apprenticeship program.
Margie.
Okay, I just want to say two quick things. I happened to learn totally by accident, because I was in Richard's office the other day, that there are two things happening. No, I'm sorry. The first thing I learned from Phil Acevedo, that there is actually a planned one full day of fundraising around Pacifica's 65th birthday, which is on April 15th. I don't know who we are or how we fit into this, but I sort of feel like somebody ought to let the LSB know that those things are happening. You know, I know we don't have anything to do with programming, but we ought to know, and we ought to, you know, like we can support it and think about it and send it out to our Facebook friends or whatever. So it's a one day fundraising. They're going to use a lot of stuff from the archives, I think, and it's, you know, the focus is because actually April 15th is actually the 65th anniversary of Pacifica, KPFA. Okay. Then I also learned that there's some big donor event that some fancy woman with a lot of money, I guess, is holding a donor event. And I don't know that it's focused around the 65th anniversary. I don't really know what it's focused around, but it's coming up pretty quick. And so I know, you know, Richard is a man divided in half and is constantly flying back and forth from L.A. to Berkeley. But I feel like the GM ought to be informed. These are the kinds of things that I think the board ought to know about. And so that's all I'm saying. I'm done. Oh, and, you know. Well, you know what I heard said before.
Cynthia, the last word on this. Use the mic.
I think there's consensus on a lot of stuff now. So as Frank said, you know, the follow-through is the important stuff, and communication, obviously. So I'm going to just put my word in for, of course, apprenticeship, apprentice program, development director, so there's some accountability and and then, of course, IT for whatever that means. But I think, like in these events that Margie mentioned, you know, there must be, oh, volunteer director of some kind. I don't know how, since a budget is just a piece of paper about priorities, these are kind of priorities that we have been talking about for a long time. So maybe that follow through will really be the important thing as we go down the line. Thank you.
Okay. So, KFCF report, do you want to say it, or just because it was passed out, it's cool? Or
if it's appropriate, it's in your emails. I mailed it to you so we can expedite.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Mel.
That was great.
And we're happy to hear that Mark is getting stronger. announcements. Jose Luis.
So on a
Mike?
Luis Fuentes. On a positive note, so on next week, on March 13th, Youth Together, a nonprofit's having their ethnic study conference at UC Berkeley, and they are giving $2,000 to KPFA to webstream their keynote speaker. And next year, they'll have it again. And next year, my hopes is there'll be more than $2,000. Brian and Richard and Michael Yoshida have agreed to make this happen on the KPFB website and stream it. But again, so this is all, it's not taking any money from the station. It's giving money to the station. They'll continue to do it. And this type of fundraising, we should encourage it.
Paula.
Oh, okay. Since your announcement last week about, I mean, last month, oh God, I'm getting tired, you know, about the hearings in Sacramento, I managed to get myself over there, and there were 3+ hours of hearings run by Lonnie Hancock in Amiano, and you know, about the horrific torture conditions by our rogue CDC people with their own criminal injustice system inside of the prison against our fellow humans and political prisoners. The encouraging thing there was that there was a Justice Youth Coalition from L.A., consisting mostly of African Americans, teenagers, 16 years old, who had parents or other relatives in the SHU, and they were up doing public comment, and that was really encouraging. That group was from L.A., and of course there were, you know, probably about 100 to 150 people, maybe, I think. There was a rally afterwards, and you know, mostly African Americans, Latinos, and then a smaller percentage of European Americans. And then after the rally, we broke up into groups of eight, and we went to about 6 to 8 different legislative offices lobbying. And, you know, I was tired and I was ready to go home, but I stuck with it, and I was really glad I did. My group had four young Latino women from Riverside who were just awesome, and they were so gracious because I was ready to lash out myself. And they were so nice and gracious to these legislators, just lobbying to see if they, you know, were even aware of the hearing. And but it was kind of overwhelming seeing the huge bureaucracy in there, which is the first time I really saw it. And there's a follow-up thing on April 3rd. Wait, yeah. April 3rd, 8 to 12 in the East End complex there. You know, the CDC has this whole whitewashed changing of the language, like, you know, and of course they're using gang, prison gangs, you know, as their excuse for the torture. And so now they're changing their names to security threat groups, STGs. And they have a lot of name changes. And on this April 3rd thing, you know, they're going to come down with their washed up, you know, whitewashed up plans. And then it looks like public comment is going from, like, until 5 o'clock on that hearing. So that was that one. And I think, you know, as Michelle Alexander says, this has to be a big mass movement. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beyond what the lawyers can possibly take care of, which a lot of you are doing. I have a bunch of flyers there, and if anybody wants me to make copies of them, I'm glad to distribute them. If you want to give it to somebody else who might, you know, get involved. And that was that one. And I wanted to... Oh, maybe.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. And then the good news was, like, 6 o'clock a few mornings ago, Amy Goodman announced that Eddie Conway, the Black Panther political prisoner in Baltimore, finally was freed after 44 years. And he's been doing prison reform inside of the Maryland prisons for many, many years and has many good ideas. And he's going to continue his work with what they call the Friend of Friends through the American, the Quakers.
Yeah.
To help especially the new younger inmates coming in. So that was encouraging. And all the youth that were even in Sacramento, that was like encouraging, just like the Andy youth up in Santa Rosa are very encouraging because they're starting to stand up. I mean, and we need to support them. That's all. I can't resist, and maybe you just have a few moments. As a historical Finno-Ugric kind of little detailed history related to the Olympics, as some of you may know, the Finnish men's hockey team knocked the entitled Russian and American hockey teams out of the medal counts. And as far as I'm concerned and many other Finns are concerned, it wasn't just a hockey game. It was sort of like payback for Stalin invading us 1939 to 1945 and also for Peter the Great invading us in 1714. And
talk about history.
When the cowardly Swedes left us to fend for ourselves against Peter the Great's army, and where actually my seventh great-grandfather got killed and a great-uncle, and where the Finnish population got diminished down to less than 400,000 people in the early 1700s during what they call the Russian Great Wrath and the Lesser Wrath. And also for the Russians still continuing to discriminate against our 5 million tribal relatives in Karelia, on the Volga, in the Urals, in Siberia, and in northern Russia.
I think you're about to conclude.
Okay. Could I just say I'm disappointed in the Swedes because they committed 650 years of cultural genocide against the Finnish people, starting with cutting our heads off, and then ending in the 1918 Civil War, where they executed the Swedish elite and the powerful rich, executed 10,000 landless peasants and workers after they surrendered and set up concentration camps where thousands more died. And anyway, that's why I'm mad that the Swedes didn't get knocked out of the medal count. Thank you.
Whoa. Yes.
Am I supposed to time announcements?
Yes, apparently.
How long?
Three minutes.
Two minutes.
I'm sorry.
You're done.
Tanya Russell.
Tanya Russell died. Yes.
Okay. And I just want to say that she was such a role model for advocating for youth, and we just... since our last meeting.
Right.
Okay. Also, did we skip the bylaws and the...
No, we're going to that. We're going to do this.
There are four announcements on the agenda.
Well, what the fuck? Joy.
Yes.
Joy.
Too bad.
First, I want to take the time to say that I honor and congratulate the women who are volunteering to put 12 hours of programming on today to... inform the public about the contributions of women in our society. The only thing I lament is that we didn't build in fundraising capabilities into this programming. This would have been a good time to ask people to support us when we're doing great, wonderful, magnificent things. The other announcement I want to make is I'm heavily involved in the Healthy Child Initiative, which is an attempt to charge a penny an ounce fee on distributors of poison in our city. And I need you to sign this petition if you haven't already. It only asks for your name and your email and phone number, give what you want, and it asks if you support this legislation because it's going to be on the ballot in November. It doesn't ask for money or anything else. So if you support the idea that we can have a healthy community if we limited the use of sweetened beverages, especially to children, then I would like you to support me by signing that thing. Finally, the funds are hopefully going to go towards garden and nutrition education in the public schools because that federal funding went away. So just so you'll know, really briefly, we had a $1.4 million per year, and now we're down to $300,000 a year. So this will support that. And then finally, Mal and I sit and conferred, and we thought this would be a good place to announce our intention.
You're getting married.
Oh, y'all missed that. We did that already. You see why we sit together all the time. No, really. We thought it would be a good idea. We'd like to announce our intention to only ditto anything we agree with. Instead of everybody repeating that they agree with what was said, just say ditto, and everybody will know that you agree, and that'll be shorthand for I wanted to talk. Thanks.
Okay. Announcements. Are you timing these, Brian?
3 minutes.
Frank, I thought they were 2 minutes, but yeah, two.
Just in case this gets on the web fast enough, or if anybody in this room, the apprenticeship program has one more week open on the application deadline. It may be extended depending on how many we end up getting. But it could be anyone you know, any friends. They can download an application at kpfaapprentice.org. And yes, they should be graduated from high school. Thank you.
David.
Radio time.
I just want to say that Joy took a look at the pie, and I said, "Why don't you have a piece of that pie?" And she says, "No, I'll look at it. I'm not going to eat it." So she's putting her money where her mouth is about sweets.
What pie, says Carol?
All right, we're going to now discuss Pacifica bylaws. I'm going to do this. I want to get a sense of the body so that we have a sense of what we're doing. There are three different bylaws. Do people know what they are? Okay, so do people have a sense of what they think of them? All right, I want to do a sense of the body. All right, I'm just going to go through this fast, then we'll go back. How many people are in favor of bylaw number one? Bylaw number one, limiting the size of the LSB.
Yes.
How many are in favor of that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. How many are in favor of bylaw number two?
Which is what?
Limiting okay. The size of the PM.
How many are opposed to bylaw number two? Okay. It's limiting the size of the PNB. It's low, making it smaller, and it's also limiting the staff. It will no longer have staff representation as a fixed piece. Yes, it is. It's optional, but currently you have to have a staff position, and this one will eliminate whether or not one of those positions has to be staff. So it lowers the size of the PNB, but it doesn't guarantee staff position anymore. How many people are in favor of that? How many people are against it? Okay. The third one purports to be something that is putting us in line with regulations of the communications, blah, blah, blah. That's a failure of the sound system that was that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it says it's compliance. Speaking for myself, since chairman never get to say what they think about anything. Speaking for myself, I don't trust that that's all it is. Just in passing. But anyway, so how many, having looked at that, are for that?
I don't understand what it is.
Okay. 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 How many are leaning against it?
Okay.
Why don't we get take care of one and two? I think it's pretty clear, and then we'll go to number three. Okay, how's that? All right. Is there a motion on the floor?
Motion.
All right.
I'll move Amendment 1.
Okay, Amendment 1. All of those in
the PNB secretary requested a roll call vote on each of these, so we need to do roll call votes.
Okay, so this is the size, reducing the size of the LSB, essentially. Roll call vote on amendment number 1.
Okay, Alderson, I'll vote yes. Boschman?
Yes.
Boschman, yes. Bernstein, not here. Edwards-Tiegert?
Yes.
Edwards-Tiegert, yes. Urkula?
Abstain.
Urkula abstains. Fuentes?
Abstain.
Fuentes abstains. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher? Goldmacher, not here. Goen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil, not here. Moore? Moore, yes. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Sanders?
Yes.
Yeah. Sanders, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Taylor Nichols?
Yes.
Taylor Nichols, yes. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Welsh?
Yes.
Welsh, yes. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White?
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. So that's 16 yes, 0 no, 2 abstentions.
Number 2.
Make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion.
I don't support it. I'm not going
to
make the motion.
No, okay. We're moving to vote.
Oh. Someone has to move it.
I don't want to move it. To I want to move the vote on it.
I know, I hear you. Okay, Janet, you support number 2? Okay, and you want to move number 2?
Someone has to be the mover.
Right.
To move to vote on
yeah.
it? To move
yeah.
to,
yeah.
yes. I move that we vote on amendment number 2.
Is there a second? Okay, fine. Roll call.
Okay. Okay, yeah. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Alderson, I vote no. Boschman?
No.
Boschman, no. Bernstein, not here. Edwards-Tiegert?
No.
Edwards-Tiegert, no. Urkula?
No.
Urkula, no. Fuentes?
No.
Fuentes, no. Gans?
No.
Gans, no. Goldmacher, not here. Goen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil, not here. Moore?
No.
Moore, no. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Sanders?
No.
Sanders, no. Sawyer?
Abstain.
Sawyer, abstain. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Taylor Nichols?
Yes.
Taylor Nichols, yes. Travis?
No.
Travis, no. Welsh?
Yes.
Welsh, yes. Whipperman?
No.
Whipperman, no. White?
No.
White, no. Wilkinson?
No.
Wilkinson, no. So that is 4 yes, 13 no, 1 abstention.
Okay. Now the third amendment, yes, Margie.
Oh, I want to speak on it.
Well, we're not there yet, dear. I'll put you on the list. Okay. Are there people who are in favor of this who want to move it? Or do we just want to get a you're in favor? Janet's in favor. Why don't you move it, Janet?
I move that we vote on amendment number 3.
Is there a second?
Can we have an explanation?
Yeah, can you tell us why?
Why don't you tell us why you like
it? Well, there are bylaws noticing requirements, there's CPB noticing requirements, and they're not necessarily, they differ in some cases, and so this basically brings the bylaws in compliance with the CPB Communications Act requirements.
Okay.
noticing requirements.
Are you saying that we are currently out of compliance?
No. Well, sometimes it's kind of hard to know, from my understanding, whether a bylaws noticing is consistent with CPB noticing. And so, you know, this would make it consistent.
Margie, Brian,
okay.
David, Burton. Why don't we have the questions out on the table?
Point of information takes precedence.
Go ahead, David, and the microphone.
So my question is there presently a provision for calling special meetings that's in the bylaws?
Yes.
So how does this differ from the current language, if anybody knows? In other words, what is the reason for this as opposed to just going with what is already there? That's what my question, since I haven't recently read the bylaws.
You don't.
It has the existing text above it.
Right.
Each one of these. The existing text is section 6B, and then the proposed text.
Yes.
So everything you need to know is there.
Except what it means.
Yeah.
Margie, Brian, okay. Burton, Craig.
Okay. I'm not willing to vote on this without knowing what the Communications Act says. That is, I want to see what I realize that the people who wrote this up think that they're bringing us in compliance with the Communications Act, but I want to know what the Communication Act says. And I confess I had this problem for a while, and I didn't look up the Communications Act and find out what it says. My choice is to vote no on this amendment, because I think that that has to be part of the discussion. If we're trying to become compliant with something, we ought to know what it is we're becoming compliant with.
Brian?
So as I understand it, the situation is this. The Communications Act, this is the section of the Communications Act that says, here's what you have to do if you're getting money from CPB. Right, which is us. And the basic rules are your meetings have to be noticed publicly on a website. You have to air an announcement periodically telling people where the website is and how they sign up to get notices. You have to have at least 7 days' notice. And you have to conduct all business that can be conducted in public. There's only narrow reasons you can close a meeting. Our bylaws had like separate aspirational requirements that included 5 announcements of every national board meeting. Sorry, every national board meeting being announced 5 times per day for a period of time leading up to the meeting on every station. Yeah, and we have a lot of national board meetings. So there's no actual overlap. The requirement that the CPB asks us to broadcast is here's where you find our notices. The requirements that our bylaws impose, which we've never followed to my knowledge, is here's when and where the national board is meeting. I am kind of lost in the thick text of this. I wish it was available with strike-throughs and bolds for the additions. So I'm kind of with Margie. I'm not sure on exactly what this is changing, but I think that's the problem it's trying to address. I don't know why they have to be harmonized. Just because it's not in our bylaws doesn't mean we don't have to meet CPB's requirements. We do.
Janet.
Well, one example of something that's in the bylaws currently that has not been practiced is you see under Article 6, Section 4, notice, existing text shall require telephonic notice. That's like the fourth line down. Mm-hmm. By leaving a message at the telephone number given to the foundation secretary, et cetera, of meeting, telephonic notice of meetings, in addition to posting the meeting. That's one example of something that's not been practiced.
Well, one of the things we can do is we can is there a board? We can sit up here and we can analyze what's there. We can vote. You know, either feeling we understand it and want to pass it, or abstaining it, or tabling it. I don't think is going to work because of the time frame.
It has to
have a response. Now, my understanding is Los Angeles has already turned down all three of them. In order for these to be passed, what is it, three of the five stations have to pass them. Within X period of time, which may have, by the way, already expired. I don't know. Do people want to, what is your pleasure? Is the question called? Okay, the question's called. All right. Roll call vote. Okay, are we calling the question? All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand.
Takes
two-thirds. Okay, well, everybody's for it. So, okay, we're taking the roll call. Here we go. He's got to get ready.
Okay, Alderson, I'm going to vote no. Bachman? Bachman, no. Bernstein, not here. Edwards-Tiekert abstains. Urkola?
Abstain.
Urkola abstains. Fuentes? Fuentes abstains. Gans? Gans abstains. Goldmacher? Goldmacher, not here. Goen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Johnson?
Abstain.
Johnson abstains. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil, not here. Moore? Moore abstains. Morgan, not here. Pritchett, not here. Sanders?
Abstain.
Sanders abstains. Sawyer?
Down the hall.
Sawyer is not.
Craig.
Yeah. I'll mark you as a pass right now, and we'll come back in a minute. Sawyer is not here. Sterling?
I'll abstain.
Sterling abstains. Teon Nichols?
Yes.
Teon Nichols, yes. Travis?
No.
Travis, no. Welsh?
Abstain.
Welsh abstains. Whipperman?
No.
Whipperman, no. White?
No.
White, no. Wilkinson?
No.
Wilkinson, no. And Brian, have you confirmed about Mel Sanders? Oh, you abstain?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Okay, so.
Definitely one.
It's two no, six yes. No, excuse me, two yes. Got
on.
Six no's,
two yes.
I read the wrong column. Give me a chance to fix this.
It is delegates only, so
it's
Mel would not
only.
Be recorded on these votes.
So Mel is not entitled to vote on this. Sorry. Okay, so that is. Two yes and six no, and eight abstentions, not including Mel's, so it does not carry.
Okay. I think then there is the notion of the committees of the PNB. What are we doing? Hold on.
So I'm sorry, that has implications for the previous votes that we took on the amendment. So let me just read the corrected totals because we have to take Mel out of the picture.
Out of the vote?
The picture meaning a very limited picture, the vote totals. So that means for the first amendment, 15 yes, 0 no, 2 abstentions. For the second amendment, Mel voted no, so I'll erase that, and that means... 4 yes, 12 no, and 1 abstention, and then, of course, we didn't count him for the third vote.
Okay.
Okay, Margie, Janet, what are we doing on the committees?
Okay, I sent an email to everybody. I hope they got it, which lists the committees for which We have to provide, or we're supposed to try and provide LSB members. I know from past practice that that's not always an easy thing that we ask for. We start out by asking for volunteers, and if we get two volunteers for a committee, we're lucky. So, and these do not include the these are LSB members, not including the PMB members. PMB members can serve on committees if they choose to. If more than two directors apply to serve on on some of the committees, then there's an election, and there will actually be an election. The PMB will have to elect. Will have to have an election on directors serving on certain committees. That the committees are different. Okay, so that the first committee in which we're invited to offer to LSB members is the Governance Committee. And this is a committee which reviews the bylaws and policies and suggests governance issues. For example, the Governance Committee has just asked to have something put on the agenda of the PMB that has to do with the bylaws amendments for 2014. There's a process outlined in the bylaws about how the amendments take place, and the process has to begin fairly early in the year in order for us to have votes before the end of the year. This vote should have taken place before.
How do the committees meet?
The committees meet by phone, okay. And there's a schedule established. They generally meet once a month. Although some meet more often. There's an audit committee which oversees the annual audit, and it cannot include any members of the finance committee. The committees of inclusion are required by the bylaws, but are local committees. They're not national committees. And so the committee of inclusion, the committees of inclusion have one director and three LSB members who are elected by the LSBs, and those four may choose additional members to the committee who do not need to be members of the LSB. And the election committee is not in the bylaws, but it has become, in effect, a standing committee which oversees elections and makes suggestions for improving and streamlining the election process. And the programming was previously a committee. It was then downgraded to a task force and has now been reestablished as a committee. So we need, I won't talk about the other things right now, but what we need is two volunteers for governance, audit, three volunteers for committees of inclusion, two for election, and two for programming.
Let's nominate the people who aren't here. Yeah.
Okay, and let me just say one other thing. Mal Bernstein has served as one of our representatives on the Governance Committee for the past year, and he asked to be allowed to continue. Okay, Janet. I'm done.
Janet.
Yeah, I don't understand. Programming Committee is not in the bylaws as a committee anymore. So, Margie, you said that it's now a committee again?
That's what we decided.
It's not in the bylaws as a committee. And did you mention the technology task force?
No, I haven't done any of the
task force. Okay, so task forces.
The committees. Okay. All right. Does anybody want to be on the governance committee besides Mal? Burton and then Janet. And then David.
No, I'm not about. I have a question.
Yeah,
well,
on the list.
So does Burton.
Margie, is there a personnel committee in the national?
Yes, but it's only populated by members of the PMB.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, Janet?
I'm nominating Andrea Pritchett, who for the governance,
right, okay,
who agreed to do it.
Good.
And David, what's your question?
My question is
microphone.
Two questions. What are the duties of the programming committee?
And what are the duties of the Committee of Inclusion?
Okay, the Committees of Inclusion.
Microphone.
I'm sorry. I don't know what the duties of the Programming Committee are. Is it not in our bylaws, Brian? She says it isn't in the bylaws.
Used to be. It appears to not be anymore.
Oh, I think maybe it was taken out when it went to a task force. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But the Elections Committee isn't in the bylaws either, and it functions like a standing committee. So there you go.
Has the power to create committees.
Right, right. Okay. The Committees of Inclusion. These committees, the Committees of Inclusion will monitor both individual, both station programming and staffing in consultation with the LSBs. And what it says, and then there's a very long description which is available in the bylaws, and it talks about making sure that there's there's a diversity of representation in the programming. And it's one of its responsibilities is to look at lists of candidates for local station board and make sure that there's a significant representation of the community, especially minority communities, which in California are actually majority communities probably now, in every aspect of the station's lives, including programming and representation on boards and committees.
There is language that Craig has found from the old bylaws. Do you want to hear on programming the description of that? Do you want that read?
Yeah.
Okay, for those who care, this is in Article 8, and it's Section 3. It says, Programming Committee, which shall ensure that programming at all Foundation radio stations meets and fulfills the Foundation's purposes as stated in the Articles of Incorporation.
Damn.
That's it.
All right. Who wants to be on the audit committee? I thought we need two people from the LSB.
Well,
is there anybody else who wants to be on governance? We got Mel and Andrea.
Mal. That's fine. So we should confirm that somehow.
You have to ask if there's further nominations and close nominations, because in the event that three people or more want to be on, we have to hold an election.
Aha. Okay. So, going once, going twice, three times, nominations are closed. There are two people, two slots. They are Andrea Pritchett and Mal Bernstein. And we'll confirm that with them. Audit. Moving right along. Election.
No, there were no volunteers. Who was on the audit committee this year? Was you and me?
Yeah.
Jose Luis.
No, I'm ready.
You're ready?
Director, he doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He doesn't count.
Whoever is concerned about finances and what's going on with the bigger picture, they should be on it.
Well, I'm gonna nominate Donald because he was on it last year and
that's a good idea.
Okay. Donald Goldmacher. Janet?
I'm gonna nominate Joy Moore.
I decline the nomination.
Okay.
If Donald declines the nomination, we'll have to take it up again.
Well, it's supposed to be two people, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he's one out of two.
Who else isn't here?
She's so mad.
How about Samsara?
Right. Okay.
Wait, was it Mal that showed an interest in one of these?
The governance.
We got him. It's closed. We're moving on.
We'll leave it open.
Okay. The Committee of Inclusion.
Well, no, election.
Oh, I'm sorry, Janet. Oh, okay, we got it.
Well, I wanted to suggest that for, well, I guess for the ones that we don't have two volunteers here, or, you know, like assuming we don't have any more than two for each one, that we post something to the list, to the LSB list. I don't know if it's for people who aren't here to be able to, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll leave that. We're leaving the nomination open.
Yeah.
Is that okay with Brian, Mr. Stickler?
We have one person signed up already, right?
No, we signed one person up.
Donald, in case he declines.
He has not accepted his nomination.
Okay.
He's struggling with his decision.
Right. I just think we could, since nobody else's name has even been put up, close nominations and put him up and then reopen them if someone's interested in the future. But leaving things up in the air would keep him from attending any meetings for at least a month.
Okay. That's if Brian told. It's okay. They're closed. Okay? Janet.
Just one other thing, we would need to hear back from Donald to accept it.
Yes, otherwise he won't be on the phone call. Okay. Committee of Inclusion.
I want to volunteer as the director. It's one director and three LSD members, and I'd like to volunteer to be the director on the committee.
Of course you would. Okay. Any more? It's the committee that looks at monitoring diversity.
Yeah.
Joy.
I'll do that. Okay.
Joy. Okay. We've got two more slots. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Three LSB members.
Yes. Closing nominations. Although this is a board that is local. It is not national. And so I'm going to be really risky here and leave the nomination open and let Margie recruit and bring people on the board even with us not closing the nominations at this meeting.
Okay.
Can you believe it?
Risky.
I just...
A risk taker.
Elections. Elections. Cynthia and... Oh. Mark Hernandez and Cynthia Johnson.
All right. Let me just say about Mark. He was on the committee last year. As everybody knows, he's been very ill. He is interested in staying on the committee, but is not totally sure about his attendance. But I will say that in his defense, there was very spotty attendance from many people on the elections committee last year. So I think it'll be okay.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification, Margaret. Margie. All right. Nominations closed. Is that right?
Yeah.
Going once, going twice. Okay. Programming. David.
What does it involve in terms of commitment to be
generally
on the program?
Microphones.
Generally, a telephone meeting once a month, and those meetings generally start 5:30 our time because we're meeting with people on the, it's across the country. So the New York people, for them, it's 8:30 in the evening. For us, it's 5:30. We tried to set it so that people here could be off work, but we couldn't start it too late for New York. So New York and Washington, it's 8:30. In Texas, it's whatever, 7:30, and then we're here at 5:30. And it's usually one meeting a month. Although there have been times when two committees that I've been on, the Audit Committee and the Elections Committee, met more than once a month. So it sort of depends on what's happening. I don't think this committee will meet more than once a month.
Well, I'll volunteer for it.
All right.
With
all right,
great trepidation.
Okay. Another person for programming. Open, tick, 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 and then we can go home. Tick, tick, tick. Oh, no. He says no. Burton?
Just a question on the microphone.
You should be on it.
Margie, the type of thing that the committee A discusses and B that they have authority to deal with.
Okay. No, committees don't really have any authority. What they do is they make recommendations to the PMB. The PMB does take up motions from committees before other, you know, they sort of jump the track in terms of placement on the agenda. But really, the committees serve at the pleasure of the PMB and make recommendations to the PMB.
Thank you.
Are you willing to volunteer now?
No.
Janet.
So before we end?
No, wait. We have not finished programming. Okay. And Craig has a point of order on the amendments.
Well, but after programming, there's also the task forces, three task forces.
Oh, okay.
Development, technology, affiliates. We don't have to go there here, but we would have, okay.
Development,
yeah.
What?
There are actually four, Spanish language programming.
Spanish language and technology. Is that what you said? Development, Spanish language, and technology, correct?
And archives.
Oh, yeah, affiliates.
So there's four?
No, there's five, actually.
Affiliates, and what's the fifth?
Archives.
Archives. Okay. Are we finished with programming?
Yes, unless there's somebody else.
Are you chairing this, Margie? Okay, task force. Development. Are we going to post? Can people post in the radio station so that staff knows that there's these five task force that are available? Can you take care of that, Mr. Juggler? Joker? Can you see to it posted in the radio station that there are open slots on the task force for development, Spanish language, technology, affiliates, and archives?
Get Richard to do a staff announcement.
Yeah. A staff announcement. Could you take care of that? Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody want to be on development, technology, Spanish language, affiliates, or archives? Jose Luis, was he saying he wanted to be on Spanish language? Did you want to be on Spanish language? Okay. Development. Anybody want to be on development? Is that Joy, you want to be on development?
No, I don't want to be.
Okay. Well, I'm asking that. Then you can talk.
I will.
Okay. Development. Going, gone. Spanish language, going, gone. Technology, going, gone. Affiliates, going, gone. Archives, going, gone. Okay, it's going to be posted for the staff, and if anybody on Rethinking This wants to be part of this, notify us or notify Craig, secretary.
Yeah.
And Craig will let PNB guys know who has said they want to be part of this. All right, Craig, your point of order.
So Brian reminded me, and I apologize for this oversight, that for amendments to be passed, they need to be passed by a majority of all the LSB members, not just a majority of those voting.
Oh.
The good news is it doesn't change the outcome. We passed Amendment Number 1 with 15 yes, but it does mean that our votes are moot, I guess, on Amendments Numbers 2 and 3. Number 2, we had 12 no, and let's see, we had a total of, it looks like, well, we needed 13 in order to vote one way or another on that, I guess, and 6 no. And 2 yes on number 3. So, I mean, I guess
if it doesn't pass,
it doesn't pass. But
so
right.
Those are no votes,
essentially. Yeah, right. Okay. Anything else? Is this an announcement? Run the time on Paula.
I guess it's a point of order. It's just
go ahead. Use the microphone.
Oh, right. We were going to do the cracking the code, so. Were we going to announce what we when it was going to happen again?
It's going to happen in May. Does everybody agree to that? Is there anybody who disagrees with that?
So we'll probably be here again?
I don't know. We've got to figure. It was no. It's also because it was free and available. It was going to be it was going to be challenging, but it was going to be a projector, a computer, and a screen. Okay, so we will settle that. But is there anybody objects to this being in the May meeting?
No.
Okay, that's going to happen, and we're going to have a time certain early adjournment for the May meeting.
I want to make a proposal to adjourn.
What?
motion to adjourn.
Motion.
I just checked. It was. I understand from the. That the task force are not necessarily limited to board or to staff, and I would recommend that we think about alerting our listeners to the potentiality of serving in that capacity.
So earlier in this meeting, we changed the time certain 1 o'clock slot, and Carol, you were suggesting that we look in the future of not going with that, but that would mean doing something against Brian's motion back when in December of having those 1 o'clock time certain things. So I don't know.
I think we
need a motion to.
We did a motion and we voted on it, but here. We did today to eliminate the time certain of 1 o'clock. We're still having the special session, which will be an hour session, and it'll be the time allotment for an hour of the special session around the budget things that we listed what they were going to be. I don't remember what April and May are set for, but so it's just that they're not going to be at 1 o'clock.
Right. I don't remember the motion here today.
Okay, we did one. Yes. We took a vote.
It was my motion. I didn't clarify that it was for all the special orders of business, but that's what it was.
It was for. That's what. Well, that's what I thought we were voting.
I'm sorry, I didn't clarify that. But
well, it was clear to me. Who else was it clear to?
We can take it up.
But
it was clear to me.
Okay.
No agenda is fixed until we approve it. So if in the wisdom of the people drawing up the agenda, it doesn't make sense to have a special order, don't put it on.
Well, we're putting a special order. It's just not going to be at 1 o'clock, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. There was a motion to adjourn.
It was seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Excellent.
The meeting.